Please turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, and this morning we're going to be looking at two verses, verses 6 and 7. For those of you who attended Justin and Alana's wedding last Sunday evening, it was such an amazing pageantry in the wedding. You remember last Sunday evening when where we were at anyway, the rain poured, and then the sky turned black, and the thunderclaps were deafening, and even lightning danced across the roof. And in the shelter of this barn in the upper level, a man, a husband, took a wife, and they were joined in one flesh against the backdrop of the mighty power of God all around, and sheltered inside this love of a man for a woman and a woman for a man is this joining and receiving that went on. And it's a picture of what we have been shown throughout this book of Revelation against this mighty, powerful backdrop of the darkness of the judgment of God descending upon the world is the salvation of God's people. The bride being taken by the groom and the groom taking the bride to be his forever. And so now we come to this last little bit and portion of the book of Revelation. If you'd please stand for the reading of God's word. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the certainty and the surety of it, the assurance of it, that it hasn't come by human interpretation, that it has come through the prophets who are moved along by the Holy Spirit to write and to express your thoughts, your words. And that in your word is your power and the exercising of your power. You accomplish your will through your word, and you have spoken it to us through the living word, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray this morning that you will work all of your holy will in us. Lord, that we would be found watching and waiting when you return, that we would be found in your presence, in your service, with our love rekindled every morning, with our lamps filled with oil, about your work in this world. Lord, wean us away from the great prostitute Babylon and all of her seductions. Clear our vision so that we would not be fooled by the religions and the false philosophies in this world. Help us not to fear the power of those who hate you and persecute you through the world, and help us to stand. Lord, forgive our sins, cleanse us, bless us this morning through the reading and the preaching of your word, and I pray that your word would be heard and spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Do you remember how this book began way back in the beginning when we first began? John was charged with a task to accomplish on Christ's behalf. His job, the Apostle John, was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it was on the Lord's day when he heard a voice like a trumpet that told him, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches." And then a little later, Christ Jesus then dictated seven letters. And then afterwards, just shortly after, immediately after, John looks and sees a door open in heaven. And he hears a voice trumpeting to him, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." And John is shown in vision picture form the great cosmic warfare that is being battled out between Christ Jesus and Satan and all of his hosts. And this cosmic warfare is that period of time between his first coming and his second coming. What must take place is the complete and total victory of the Lamb. Satan and all of his cohorts must be judged and eternally condemned and cast into the lake of fire. And then last of all, hell and Hades itself and death itself will be cast into the lake of fire. And then will come the new heavens and the new earth. And Christ Jesus, the groom, will enter in and take his bride to himself against that dark black drop of the wrath of God is the grace of God taking this bride to live in the new heavens and the new earth in the new Jerusalem. And it will be paradise for us. Brothers and sisters, behind just these few summary sentences lie all of the countless lives of the saints throughout this dark, these ages, all of the lives of the saints who persisted in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who held to the testimony, by faith took hold of the promise, and even though they did not see its fulfillment in their time, they lived in faithfulness. And many of them walked to their death, and many of our brothers and sisters still feel that persecution in their bodies as they remain faithful in obedience to Christ. Christ intends for us to find our place in this picture book and to be encouraged and strengthened as we persevere and as we contend for the faith in the midst of this continual conflict that is going on that we are still a part of. Christ has given us this eschatological picture book so that we might persevere in our faith and obedience to Christ Jesus until he comes. And in this closing section, we are reminded whose book this is and whose word this is. God is the author of this book. This closing section of this last chapter, it closely parallels. Read it and read chapter 1 and notice the parallels between the first chapter and the last chapter. The book ends like it began. And then John has come full circle. The great pageantry of the visions is completed. It's the Lord's day, and John is still under the influence of the Holy Spirit, just as it began. And he is still in the presence of the angel who has so often guided him through these visions. And John has been given the task in the first chapter, and now again he is reminded, he's given the task to write what he has seen in a book. And lest anyone doubt the veracity of this testimony, lest anyone doubt the genuineness of and the reliability or the relevance of this book, God places his name upon the book of Revelation. God is the author of this book. And we see this truthfulness of this claim of God's authorship in a number of ways in verse 6. Notice, these words are reliable because they bear the same character and nature as Christ Jesus. In verse 6, it tells us that these words are trustworthy and true. Do you remember hearing something like this before in the book of Revelation? Back in chapter 19, when John saw the heavens opened up and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. The words of Revelation are Christ's words. They bear his character. They bear his nature. He is faithful, chapter 19. Therefore, he is trustworthy, chapter 22. His words are true, chapter 19. Therefore, you can trust them and they will never lead you wrong, chapter 22. He is faithful and true. His words are trustworthy and true for believers. You'll never go wrong if you take Jesus Christ at his word and then allow Christ's words to determine how you live and behave in this life. No matter what the physical results or the financial consequences are, you will never go wrong if you allow these radical, life-changing words of Christ Jesus to change the way you think, to change your appetites, to change what you give yourself to in time and your money and your occupation, to give yourself to Christ Jesus. Jesus is faithful, and therefore his words are trustworthy. He is true, therefore his words are true, and the dependable rule for faith and actions in this dark world, in the midst of the tempest of this present evil age. The harlot Babylon, that great seductress who leads the world along by its lusts, is very potent. She is very potent in the way she seduces and intoxicates and leads the world astray. The powers of political oppression in league with Satan that we have seen in this book rages against Christ and his church. False religions and secular philosophies who blind the eyes of people and convince them and draw them away. Very persuasive to a world. Who can stand against this unholy alliance? Who is our hope? How can we possibly stand? The only one who can is the one who is faithful and true, and those who trust him, because he is trustworthy and true. We are able to stand because of the faithful and true one, and he has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will care for his people, and we will be able to stand until he comes. These are Christ's words in this book. These words are trustworthy and true. They are his words. You can depend upon them, and they come with the power of the one who has spoken them. They're like the beacon light that is shining in the dark that leads us home. This is God's book. He's the author, and he also tells us the method of transmission. There's from God to us. These trustworthy and true words were given from God through the angel to John for us. From God through the angel to John, and they're given for us. And who is it who speaks in the revelation? It is the Lord, the God of the Spirit of prophecy. He is the sovereign Lord and master of all things, because he is the God who is the maker of all things. And he's given these words through the angel. Who are the angels? Angels are the ministering spirits who belong to God for the service and the care of his people. And these words were given to John. And who is John? He is the apostle in whom lives the spirit of prophecy. And he speaks the true word of God. He is carried along in the Holy Spirit. The apostle Peter, who was with John on that Mount of Transfiguration, Peter writes in 2 Peter, I think of his experience there. And the apostle Peter says that he and the other apostles were eyewitnesses of the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were with him, and they heard from heaven the heavenly Father's voice speaking to them, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. That's amazing stuff. What an amazing and glorious experience to see Christ come, to hear with your ears from heaven. And yet, you know, perhaps you say, oh, I wish I had that experience. If only I had that experience. What an advantage that is. Maybe if I had that experience, I could finally become serious about Christ Jesus. Then maybe my experience of Christ Jesus wouldn't just be coming to church on Sunday morning. Oh, if only I had that experience, if I had seen that, and then maybe my sins wouldn't have such a grip on me that I can't escape. Maybe I wouldn't be so weak, and my faith wouldn't be so weak, but Peter won't have any of that. In the very next verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, in the very next verse, after telling us about this experience of seeing and hearing the Father's voice, in verse 19 he says, and we have something more sure. More sure. What could be more sure than hearing with the ears and seeing with the eyes? What could be more sure than that? Well, what is more sure is this, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word in which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is how God works all of His holy will. It is the power of God at work in us. And the confidence that we have is not in the personal experience. The confidence that we have is in the Word of God. And you have the certain, sure Word of God. It is trustworthy and true because it comes from the one who is faithful and true. And it was sent by God to you. And who are you? You are a servant of the living God. You are a bond slave, and you are a child, brought into the household, given an inheritance. That's who you are. This word and its transmission comes to us. And it is power and it is glory. It is God's word to us. This book is God's sovereign explanation and guide for understanding reality. This is such a dark and deceptive world. The powers are real. And the blinding of the eyes are real. But we have been brought into the light. And it is given. This is His explanation, God's explanation of reality. It's God's explanation of what is really true and really real, as opposed to the deception and delusions cast by the deceptor Satan himself, and embraced by Babylon, the world. We have been brought into the light. Christ has given us himself, and in his word, we see the Father. Take Christ at his word, and through faith, as God's servants, order your life according to the truth that you find in it. Order your life according to the truth you find in it. Do not just be hearers who hear amazing things, who take this revelation, and it's this curious thing that you go through and you try to figure out. It's not a hobby. It's not a preoccupation. This is life. It's God's word. Now order your life according to what you find in it. For it has come to you and it's come to me, and we are servants. Well, secondly, God blesses those who persevere in the truth revealed in Revelation. Verse 7 says, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The verb tense here expresses present continuous action. Blessed is the one who keeps and keeps on keeping the words of the prophecy of the book. And this is a call to an active and a continual perseverance in the truth and in the faith. God has given this picture book to us as well as all the rest of the Word of God. He's given it to us that we might persevere in our faith and obedience to Christ until he returns. Verse 6 tells us God's purpose for authoring the book. He gave it to us to show his servant what must soon take place. And verse 7 tells us what must soon take place. In Christ's own words, we hear him say, behold, I am coming soon. In Christ lays great importance, and we see the weight of the importance that Christ attaches to his coming again. It's important for us. It's what we need to know, and we see it in the repetition over and over again in this last section. In verse 7, behold, I am coming soon. Verse 12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. In verse 20, he says, surely I am coming soon, and all of God's people are responding, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, come. God's people are waiting and watching. They've taken his word to heart. Come, Lord Jesus. All of their lives and their strength, imperfectly, but certainly true, is straining ahead to take hold of the prize. You know, when we talk about coming soon, of course, it's been 2,000 years. Everything that is needful for the redemption of God's people is completed. It has been since his ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now is the calling of the elect into the kingdom. And when the very last one that God knows by name, because he has set his love upon them before the foundations of the world, when the very last one known by God comes into the kingdom, then the heart's desire of his people will be complete and Christ will come. You know, we like to divide theology into sections so that it makes it easier for us to study and understand. We have little minds and God is great, so we take this section, the creation, maybe we take sanctification, and then maybe we take perseverance or whatever theology, and we divide them up and we study it that way. But the redemption accomplished by Christ is one glorious and gracious act of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All, each and every part belongs to the whole. in Christ Jesus' return in judgment of the world and the wicked and gathering his church to himself is the final part of that great work belonging to the whole, that great plan. His return is the final part that puts the finishing touch on the work of redemption. You know, if you were watching a great painter paint, I can watch terrible painters paint, and I'm just amazed. I'm such a great artist myself. Can't draw anything. Kathy Thurston remembers my artwork. Anyway, if you're watching them, and finally, the final brushstroke is added, and you don't fixate on that final brushstroke. What your eye is drawn to is the entire glorious, wonderful, beautiful picture. It's completed. And that's somewhat the way it is with the return of Christ Jesus. Jesus' return is the final brushstroke that sets off the full wonder of the redemption that he has accomplished. And it's that full wonder that we are living in here now. When I was being raised, we were kind of run in like cattle in a chute and set in over and over again. And these chairs as children and these horrifying movies of how Christ is going to come back and in the terribleness of it all. And it just scared me to death. But brothers and sisters, no one is scared into the kingdom. He's called into the kingdom. And that final coming, and then of course what I did in my life was, how can I beat the odds? You know, the thing to do is just live your life and then kind of know, be wise and know when to turn to Christ. And so I'm watching the sky, but not because I'm longing for this wonderful thing, but I'm playing the odds. No one is scared into the kingdom. And we are waiting for Christ to return because we're living already in that redemption, and it is glory in life for us, and we're living in this relationship with Christ Jesus. That's what it means to keep the words of this book, to see yourself there, to understand who God is and who Jesus is and what redemption is and who you are, and that we are together. And God has worked this great redemption. It's to revel in it, and it's to live in it, and it's to hope in it. And the one who keeps the words of the book is the one who is caught up in the grandeur of who Christ is and what he has done. Blessed is the one who watches and waits for Christ to come and to complete our redemption. Blessed is he who keeps his lamp filled with oil and does not grow weary and fall asleep. Blessed is the one who takes Christ at his word and so orders his life so that he does his master's will in this life until he comes. Blessed is the one who is steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And why is it not in vain? Because he is coming soon and his recompense will be with him. Keep the words of the book. Keep your focus on the prophetic scriptures that reveal the world for what it is, and it reveals who Christ is, and it reveals who you are. Christ is coming soon. This is the end time. Keep the words of the prophecy Brendan read this morning, that you know the time. Well, how do you know the time? Because you read the prophecy. You've read the book. And you've taken it to heart. You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. You've heard the alarm. You've seen Christ. you've been shaken to life. You've read the prophecy. The world slumbers, but you're awake. The hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let's keep the words of the book. We are not of the night. We are not Babylon. We are not of the Antichrist. We are of the kingdom. We are of light. We're the bride of Christ. We belong to Him. Let's wake up from our slumbers, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Christ intends for the truth of His imminent return to radically influence and determine how you live in this life. He intends for it to radically influence the way that I live in this life. And so that you persevere in faith and obedience till He comes. And those who persevere in this belief and order their lives according to the reality revealed in the revelation, we're told, are in a state of blessedness. In heaven's eyes, you are blessed. In the only eyes that matter, you are blessed. You are blessed. Even if the world hates you, you are blessed. Even though you are hounded and persecuted, you are blessed. Even though you are poor and pitiful and penniless in this world, you are blessed. Even though you are ill and suffer much, you are blessed. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Abide in Christ Jesus, for apart from Him you can do nothing. Abide in Christ. If His words abide in you, Christ abides in you, and you in Him. Apart from Him you can do nothing, but in Him you can do all things, because He is the one who strengthens you with His mighty power. Let's follow Him, and let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, we pray that Your words of Scripture would find a home in our hearts. Lord, I pray that this week that we who have so much time that we devote to so many meaningless and whimsical things, I pray this week that Your Spirit would guide us to truly meditate upon and reflect upon heaven, reflect upon who You are, to think and ponder over who we are, and to ponder and to pray this week. I pray that You will show us things in our lives that we need to change, ways that we might be more obedient to You, ways that we might bring glory to You. Lord, work in us and keep us until the day that You return, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.